Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this third day of May 2021. And today we have a guest that I've been wanting to interview again for quite a while because of the timely nature of especially his area of expertise. He's got many areas of expertise, but one that involves a great danger in the body of Christ, perhaps right now, one of the greatest dangers facing the body of Christ that is being taught and believed by professing Christians, even professing Christians who share, at least claim to share, our theology and our history and our doctrine and our practice. I'm talking about everything under the umbrella of the woke movement. And today's guest is one of the most courageous voices speaking out against this movement, perhaps even specifically in the Southern Baptist Convention. And might I add that there are still many very fine, biblically sound, theologically faithful Southern Baptist congregations that are not collapsing by the weight of the pressure of the left to embrace the wokeness movement. So I have to make sure I make that clear, but it is a growing danger there and other places as well, even amongst those that would call themselves Reformed. But I'm speaking of Pastor Tom Buck, who is pastor of First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and he's a board member of G3 Ministries, and he's also one of the speakers at the Wokeness and the Gospel Conference, where I will be manning an exhibitor's booth in June. And today we are going to be addressing the woke hermeneutic, a cancer in the pulpit. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Tom Buck.
It's good to be with you, Chris. Thanks for having me today, and excited to talk to you this afternoon.
Well, why don't you let our listeners know, for those of our listeners who have not yet heard you on this program or elsewhere, let our listeners know something about First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas.
Well, we're located in East Texas, about an hour and a half from Dallas. This church has been here for quite a while, since 1876, so it's a strong Southern Baptist Church here in this part of Texas. I've been here for just a little over 15 years. I've been senior pastor here, and I'm thankful for the ministry that God's given us, and we are looking forward to continuing to preach the gospel and speak out against anything that's a threat to it, like the movement of wokeness.
Great. And I understand that your church is a theologically reformed Baptist church?
We are. We're reformed in our soteriology and our ecclesiology as well. So very thankful for this church and its continued faithfulness to God's word.
If anybody wants more information about the First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, that website, and I'm hoping that we remember to repeat that later on in the broadcast as well, but the website is FBC, for First Baptist Church, Lindale, L-I-N, FBCLindale.com. That's FBCLindale.com. Tell us also about G3 Ministries, the organization on which, or one of the organizations on which, you serve as a board member.
Well, G3 Ministries, as you know, began as a conference several years ago, and this last year we have launched beyond a conference of G3 Ministries, where we are wanting to help equip churches. We're in the process now of growing this, so we'll have our conference every other year, but we are having it this fall, September 30th through October 2nd. And we are going to be publishing literature that will be helpful to churches as they grow healthy churches. And then we're also doing expository preaching workshops, which I'm in charge of and oversee those. And that is where we train pastors in how to handle the Word of God rightly and teach them the exegetical skills to preach expositorily. So we're thankful. Dr. Josh Feist is the head of G3 Ministries, and it is growing, and we're excited about the coming days and how we will be able to help equip churches.
And you might want to write this down, folks. The next G3 conference, where I will be manning an exhibitor's booth, will be in Atlanta, Georgia once again, and the dates are September 30th through October 2nd. The website is g3conference.com, g3conference.com. The theme is Christ is Supreme Over All, and there will be over 20 speakers at this conference, and you'll be hearing the ads during this program that give you a lot more detail. Another website to remember, which is basically connected with g3conference.com, is g3min.org, g3min, short for ministries.org, g3min.org. Now, more relevant to our discussion today, there is a Wokeness and the Gospel conference coming up in Texas, more specifically in Denton, Texas. I'm very excited about that for a couple of reasons. Number one is I'm excited to be there at a conference featuring such powerful and gifted speakers on a very important subject like Wokeness and the Gospel. But also, the conference is being held geographically very close to where my oldest brother lives, my brother John, who lives in Justin, Texas. And I have not seen my brother since 1998, since the funeral of our father. So I am looking forward to be there to see my brother, pray for my brother John. He has cancer, he has critical stage emphysema, and he has an inoperable aneurysm. So he needs your prayer, and he also needs your prayer for salvation. It is not very clear if my brother understands the gospel and embraces it, so I'd appreciate your prayers. But also, I'm looking forward to seeing my friend Mac Tomlinson, who pastors nearby, right in Denton. Do you know Pastor Mac Tomlinson?
I do not.
Oh, you got to get to know him, and I'm hoping he'll be there.
Yeah.
He is the pastor of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, and he is a Reformed Baptist as well. A great guy, a wonderful brother, and I'm sure you would love meeting him. So tell us more about the Wokeness and the Gospel Conference and what your specific topic will be there.
Well, we have several speakers. We are subtitling the conference to be on the new moralism and its incompatibility with the cross. And we have Dr. Owen Strand, who is going to be our main keynote speaker, if you will. He has a book coming out very soon. It should be in July or early August at the latest, on the issue of wokeness. Daryl Harrison will be there as well, and he is with Grace to You Ministries. He's the dean of social media there, and then he's also one of the voices for the Just Thinking podcast. Pastor Tommy Nelson, who is the pastor at Denton Bible Church, will be speaking. Several other people, including myself, will be there, and it's June 11th and 12th, and there's still plenty of time to register, and this is going to be an exciting conference that's going to help people get their minds around this topic of wokeness, because a lot of your lay Christians are having a hard time of understanding what it is, the impact it's having in our churches, and why it's a danger. Too many people are thinking that it's something that we're making too much of, but it is creeping into the church. It's already there, and its tentacles are spreading far and wide.
Yes, and folks, you might want to take out your calendars and mark down a few important dates, because they are dates that I am going to be interviewing other speakers who are being featured at the Wokeness and the Gospel Conference. Let's see here. On Monday, the 17th of May, I'm going to be interviewing Tommy Nelson. And on the 21st of May, which is a Friday, I'm going to be interviewing Owen Strand on the book that our brother Tom Buck just mentioned. And on the 25th of May, which is a Tuesday, I have Rodney C. Brown on the program. And then on Thursday, the 27th of May, I have Daryl Bernard Harrison returning to the program as well. So mark those dates on your calendar. If you want me to repeat that later on after the program, just send me an email and I'll give you the information on those dates and speakers. The woke hermeneutic, a cancer in the pulpit. Now, most of my listeners, I'm sure, understand what a hermeneutic is. But we do have new Christians listening. We have people outside of the Christian faith. I know this term is not exclusive to Christianity. Hermeneutic can be used, that phrase or that concept can be used for any literature inside and outside of Christianity and inside and outside of religion. But tell us specifically what a hermeneutic is, and then tell us what the woke hermeneutic is.
Well, to be as basic as possible, hermeneutic, when we think of biblical hermeneutics, is the method that we use by which to discover the original meaning of the text. What did Paul mean when he wrote the Ephesians, and whether chapter 1, verses 3 to 12, if we're looking at that, what was Paul saying? And what does he mean by the words that he wrote? And so if we're going to understand what he means, what Christians, evangelicals, for centuries have looked at to understand what the text means is looking back at the historical grammatical hermeneutic, we would call it. And what we mean by that is that we say, what was the original intent of the author, and how would the original audience have understood the meaning of his words? So we have to examine the grammar of the text to understand the words of that day, both of the original author and the audience. And we have to understand that a text doesn't mean what I think it means. I can't interpret it through the lens of my own understanding of things, but I have to go back and understand what it meant to them then. And it can never mean to us now what it did not mean to them then. The danger with the woke hermeneutic is that identity of the reader becomes a central part, if not the main part, of understanding what the text means. So you will begin to hear individuals talk about, or you will hear them talk about today, that you will best understand what the Bible means when you surround yourself with other people of different ethnicities or a different gender. That, for instance, I've heard it said that by a professor at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, that as a white male, I will be limited in understanding what the Bible is saying, and I need the voice of others around me. I need the voices of women. I need the voices of other ethnicities, so that in community we can come to understand what the Bible means.
And what I was saying before about the dangers of this woke movement not only involves people promoting it, which is, I would imagine, the greatest danger, but there is also a significant danger in the fear that I have witnessed amongst like-minded brethren in all other areas, or most other areas of theology and practice, the great danger of the fear of publicly associating yourself as being an opponent of this movement. There, I know people who are perhaps just as opposed to it as you and I are, but they don't want that to be known. They don't want their sermons that may have mentioned anything negative about it to be recorded or made publicly known. They don't want to have anything quoted by them in opposition to this. They want to stay, as far as the public eye is concerned, they want to stay as far away from this issue as they possibly can. Do you think that in our day and age, Christians who are as opposed to this as we are have the liberty to just stay out of the fight like this?
No, I don't, because it's going to infect, and it is infecting the church. It's infecting your average church member. And it's a good example of, I believe it was Spurgeon who said that discernment is not knowing, it's not simply knowing the difference between right and wrong, but knowing the difference between right and almost right. And it sounds almost right when someone says, hey, we need to have other voices. We need to study the Bible in community. I don't disagree with those things regarding if we are all using the same hermeneutic, where that we're looking back to understand the text in its original meaning, not through everybody bringing their own cultural lenses to the table and talking about what a particular text means. We certainly need, when it comes to application of Scripture, to understand other cultures, understand others' backgrounds, and how we might rightly apply what the text means. But we've got to be careful, because if this hermeneutic begins to take over, it will be, it'll creep into our pulpits, it'll come into sermons, and it'll be so undetectable on the surface that, or at face value, that people will be infected with it before they know it. And they will not know how to study their Bibles any longer. So we need to be training our people. As a pastor, we need to be shepherding our people to know how to identify between right and almost right. And I think one of the most dangerous cancers, as you're calling it, in the church today, is this woke hermeneutic.
Now, what would you say, if there are any, let's start off the deeper look into this situation. What would you say are some issues being raised by proponents, advocates of the woke movement that are healthy and good things that would be wise for the church to include in our preaching and teaching and our books and our lectures and our seminaries that may have been overlooked in years past, or may possibly even opposed in years past? Is there anything, like, for instance, I think you and I would agree that as much as you and I despise most of what is under the umbrella of liberalism, and that is, by the way, folks, different than leftism, they are two different things, but as much as we may despise much of the fruit, the bad fruit of liberalism, we would agree, and in fact, we would agree with James, who wrote the epistle, that the physical needs of the poor must be taken care of. We would agree that racism is a sin from the pit of hell, so much so that Moses' sister was struck leprous by God as a punishment or as a chastisement when she was speaking with bigoted thoughts against his Ethiopian wife and other places in the Scripture. And in fact, we would include in that, even in the New Testament, the Judaizers were basically bigots, anti-Gentile bigots. So we see some right things that came out of, they didn't come out of liberalism, but they were championed by liberals when conservatives really should have been championing them. It shouldn't have been liberals championing integration and all that kind of thing that it seems that most of the loudest people involved in the civil rights movement were liberals and even extremely and seriously heretical liberals. And at the very least, they their voices were louder and more part of the limelight, if you will, where the conservative voices of those believing in biblical inerrancy and so on were much more quiet, it seems to me. And maybe you could correct me if you think I'm wrong. But what about the woke movement? Is there anything that the church at large swept under the rug that we should have brought to the surface and highlighted, that they are almost exclusively promoting?
Well, I don't know that I would say that they're exclusively promoting, but if I look at the Southern Baptist Convention, which I'm a part of, there's no doubt that the history of this convention has a period of history and time when there was deep-seated ethnic partiality, ethnic hatred tolerated, ethnic partiality practiced. And that is something that the convention needed to address. I believe they did. Maybe we did not, you know, maybe it is that we need to look and see if we have addressed it as fully as it needs to be addressed. But the problem with the woke movement is that it comes along and it attempts to deal with the partiality of the past with employing partiality in the present. And to it creates greater division rather than bringing about true healing, forgiveness, repentance that leads to forgiveness, all of those things that we see in the gospel. So you take, for example, that in a particular book talked about removing the stain of racism from the Southern Baptist Convention. One of those that I believe is steeped in woke ideology, or this at least his statement is steeped in what woke ideology purports, and that is that he said the Southern Baptist Convention will have the stain of racism until Jesus returns. So there's this this perpetual, ongoing penance, or that needs to be paid, rather than there being the offer of forgiveness. So wokeness does not bring unity; it divides, because you can never really be forgiven of the past. The only way that you're going to be able to move forward is for the white voices, particularly white males, to stop talking and begin to defer to women or to people of different ethnicities. So there are things, I think, that like that we need to be promoting the voices of brothers and sisters that have sound theology. But the way that it's being approached is not a biblical worldview at all.
And we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Pastor Tom Buck on the woke hermeneutic, a cancer in the pulpit, send those questions by email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And if you just tuned us in and you want to be more informed about how you write your question, we are interviewing Tom Buck today, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Lyndale, Texas. And our theme is The Woke Hermeneutic, A Cancer in the Pulpit. We are also promoting the Wokeness and the Gospel Conference. And if you want to find out more about that conference, I think I may have forgotten to announce the website in my introductory remarks. It is wokenessandgospel.org, wokenessandgospel.org. No word the in there, just wokenessandgospel.org. So send us your emails to chrisarnson@gmail.com and give us your first name, at least your city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We will be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnson and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic.
Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gaddy. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Potofuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Tom Buck, pastor of First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, board member at G3 Ministries, and one of the speakers at the Wokeness and the Gospel Conference in Denton, Texas, coming up next month. We are speaking about the woke hermeneutic, a cancer in the pulpit. And our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Before I go to any listener questions, Pastor Tom, I want you to spell out some of the most crucial areas of great harm to the body of Christ that the woke movement is either consciously or unconsciously promoting and spreading.
Well, one of the areas is the division that it's causing, because rather than uniting, it is dividing by ethnicity. It is destroying the oneness, I believe, the understanding of the oneness that we have and the unity we have in Christ, and that He created out of Jew and Gentile one new man. And it focuses upon our differences rather than focuses upon what unites us in Christ. I think that when it comes to the topic of woke hermeneutics, one of the greatest damages it's doing is it's preventing people from coming to understand the true meaning of the text, and it's teaching people that the Word of God can be used like Play-Doh in your hand to be twisted and formed into whatever meaning you want it to be, to support whatever idea you have. So those are two of the things that just right off the top of my head when I think of the area I'm speaking on that is critical to the church today.
And we have Russ in Rowlett or Rowlett, Texas. Perhaps you being from Texas know how to pronounce that, Tom?
Rowlett.
Rowlett, okay. Russ from Rowlett, Texas. How do you think sexuality will play out in the woke hermeneutic as ministries like Living Out gain traction? Can you even explain what Living Out is?
Well, Living Out is a group that was founded by Sam Alberry and Ed Shaw, and their goal is to help people that have, in their words, same-sex attraction, who want to live out in the open that they have that sinful attraction, yet at the same time want to not live the lifestyle that comes along with that. That being said, there's a lot of issues that are problematic with Living Out, but that would probably be for another time, and I think you and I have talked about this before in the past. But if we think about it in the terms of woke hermeneutics, it's already beginning to be that the position of someone who is same-sex attracted to read into the text things that they see from their viewpoint, their standpoint. So you could take a really extreme example. His first name is Brandon Robertson, I believe is his name. Now, he's much further than Living Out. He's an openly practicing homosexual who claims to be a Christian pastor. And he just recently posted something where that he is interpreting Jesus' words when he speaks to the woman about even a dog. The master gives the dog crumbs, and when she says that to him, and he acknowledges, and then he says to another individual that why should I give that which is to dogs what has been for God's people? And he accuses Jesus of being racist in that passage. because he reads into it. Yes, he's gone public about that. He reads into that text and says that even Jesus had the racial, ethnic partiality of his day that caused him to call Gentiles and this particular woman a dog. So, I mean, that's pretty destructive, but the homosexual, LGBT, whatever letters that you might want to use, are employing this hermeneutic in their camp as well.
So, aren't there varying degrees of wokeism, for lack of a better term, that, in other words, it's not a monolithic group, is it? I mean, you have those in the group that would say that what you just read, quoted, spoke about, they would agree that it's an abomination and that it's damnable.
Absolutely.
So how is this related to wokeism?
Well, when it comes to the issue of how you interpret the scripture, there's going to be a broad spectrum. The problem is that if you employ this hermeneutic at one level, how do you turn around and tell Brandon Robertson that he can't apply it at his level? So let me just define one thing for us, that if we go outside of evangelicalism and we just look at why are they employing this type of hermeneutic? They're employing it based upon what is called positionality. Sometimes it's called standpoint theory, positional theory. But to give a definition that from using Dr. James Lindsay, he says positionality is the notion that personal values, views, and location in time and space influence how one understands the world. And he goes on to say one's gender, race, class, and other aspects of identities act on the knowledge of a person, what the knowledge that the person has about things. So within critical theory, within wokeness and the world's view, they say that those who have a particular gender or race or class are going to be able to know things and see things and understand things better than other certain gender, race, and class. For example, a white male does not understand the world as clearly as it really is than, say, a black female, because the black female has experienced certain things in life that gives her a perspective to understand things that the white male could never understand. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So now let's just transfer that over to hear now the language in 2017 that Jarvis Williams, a professor at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, here's what he said about interpreting the Bible. Remember, Lindsay says, and positionality teaches, that your gender, race, class helps you understand the world. Here's what he wrote about hermeneutics. He said, I suggest, and I'm quoting, Bible readers do the following to help arrive at the biblical author's intent. Rigorously study the Bible with people from different races, ethnicities, social postures, and genders. Do you hear it? It's right there.
Yeah.
It's the same ideology, but it's taking that worldly concept and then it's moving it into the world of hermeneutics and saying this is how we come to understand what the meaning of the text is. And it makes it, and so here, yes, would Jarvis Williams disagree with Brandon Robertson? Absolutely. I believe he would emphatically, unequivocally say that Brandon Robertson's interpretation is heretical. But Brandon Robertson is using the exact same technique that Jarvis Williams is using.
Well, by the way, thank you, Russ, in Rowlett, Texas, and I believe you're a first-time questioner, so if you provide for me your full mailing address there in Texas, you'll receive a free New American Standard Bible, courtesy of the publishers of the NASB, and also thanks to our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for BibleBookService.com, who ship out all their winners, their free books, Bibles, and other things that they win by virtue of submitting questions. Thanks a lot. We hope that you submit more questions in the future, Russ. We have an anonymous listener who says, some of my closest friends are members and pastors within the Southern Baptist Convention who fall into that category you mentioned earlier of not being in favor of the woke movement and social justice and intersectionality and all those other heretical concepts, but they are terrified to be public about their opposition to it. Can you name some of the key figures that would be promoting this stuff that would be typically, or at least in the past, beloved by most conservative reformed evangelicals? And also, I tuned in late, so I did not hear this. Is your church a member of the Southern Baptist Convention? And do you think that this will ultimately result in a split?
Well, our church is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention, and there are trusted voices of the past, if you will, that we have looked to be those who would stand strong for the truth, who are now seem to be problematic. So I just mentioned Dr. Jarvis Williams at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and directly quoted him from 2017, where he's pushing a standpoint hermeneutic or a wokeness hermeneutic. You have the same thing happening at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, where Dr. Danny Akin uses the same type of terminology. And I'll just quote from him. He says, I've been teaching in either a Bible college or seminary now for over 30 years, and when I teach hermeneutics, one of the things that I point out is that we all have, and essentially says, different standpoints. He then goes on to say that he comes to the Bible, and here, listen to the language of this. He comes to the Bible as a white male who comes from the deep South with rock-solid convictions. He goes on to say, I suspect that I read the Bible differently than, say, a lesbian woman of a different ethnicity who lives up in the Northwest and is committed to a atheistic worldview may view the Bible. Well, I mean, the language that he uses there is gender, class, and race. It's totally embedded in this type of wokeness hermeneutic or standpoint epistemology. So we need to wake up and realize that if men are being trained in these seminaries to interpret the Bible this way, they're eventually going to show up in our pulpit. So I think that if we don't stop this, it is going to split the convention, because those of us who are committed to a faithful interpretation of the Word of God, we cannot continue to allow this to go on, because it's going to split sooner or later, because it's going to lead to a progression of liberalism in the sense of how the Bible no longer means what it originally said, but means to whoever's preaching at the moment. And it's extremely dangerous.
Now, one of the seminaries where many faculty members over the history of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio have been interviewed, and even very recently, is Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. How shaky is the ground that Southern Baptist Theological Seminary is planted on? What I see is an amazing thing that a seminary that was plucked, that was rescued from from leftism, that nearly destroyed the entire convention, and was rescued and brought back to conservative hermeneutic and biblical inerrancy. Of course, even after that, there was always the divide, the very strong and vociferous divide between Calvinists and what they would call the traditional interpretation of Scripture, what we would call Arminian or non-Reformed. But it seems interesting how that denomination and seminary were rescued from leftism, and the fact that the danger of this movement taking control there is quite astonishing. How shaky is that ground? Do you think that there is hope for that being purged, the woke movement being purged from that institution?
Well, I want to be very clear, particularly when I talk about the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. There are many good men that teach there, same, I can believe, as Southeastern. The problem is that there seems to be an unwillingness to directly confront these issues and to correct them when they arise. So, for example, again, we just go back to Dr. Jarvis Williams. He's an extremely intelligent man. He knows what words mean things. And so he wrote this in an article called Intersection of Identity and Biblical Interpretation. So why is this not being corrected? Why is he not being rebuked? Why is he continued to be employed? If he doesn't have better theological sense than this to teach the definition of hermeneutics is absolutely antithetical to what we have always believed, that the heart of the practice of hermeneutics is to seek to arrive at the original meaning of the biblical text, which is embedded in objective truth, not subjective experiences of the reader, but the objective truth that's rooted in the original author addressed to the original audience. You have Dr. Matthew Hall that has made some strong statements regarding his approval of issues of critical theory. He talked about that at one point that he is a white supremacist, I believe the word they used, but he certainly talked about how he will wrestle personally with white supremacy his whole life. Jarvis Williams spoke with him in a video where they both are talking about how CRT, and Jarvis Williams talks about how knowledgeable Matthew Hall is in CRT. Now, both of them have been quiet recently, and Matthew Hall wrote an article not too long ago where he said, no, I don't embrace CRT, but has never dealt with the statements that have been made in the past. So I'll tell you what we need. If we're going to be able to have any confidence and be able to escape the shakiness that is at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Southeastern and other places, is for there to be total transparency about this. And part of that transparency is to say, what has been said is in these settings is absolutely out of line with what we believe theologically, and we have corrected it, and that there needs to be full, open repentance on these issues. And until then, there's going to be a shakiness in the confidence. So let me conclude the answer of your question with this. If there's any shakiness that I can tell you 100%, it's my confidence in their institutions based on the lack of transparency and the mixed messages we get in the teaching regarding wokeness and CRT.
And we have to go to our midway break right now. If you would like to join us during this midway break, send in a question to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And please be patient with us, because this midway break is a bit longer than the other breaks in the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show, because the FCC requires of them to localize geographically this program and all of their programs to Lake City, Florida. While they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials, so please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you possibly can provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them. And when you can't purchase their products, use their services, visit their churches, or support their parachurch organizations, please, at the very least, respond to these ads and thank the advertisers for sponsoring Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio. We cannot exist without the funding that comes through these advertisers. So please, at the very least, thank them for sponsoring this program, if indeed you do thank them, if indeed you do love this show and are grateful for those who are supporting it financially. So please do that, and also send in your questions to Tom Buck at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors with more of Tom Buck.
Back together again. Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
You don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast, I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? to foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please never forget, folks, how important solid-ground-books.com is to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio's existence. They are a premier, a primary, a vital sponsor of this program. Without the funding that comes through their advertising dollars, we might likely be forced to go off the air. It is that important to us, barring a miracle from God financially. I don't think that we'd be able to stick around much longer without solid-ground-books.com in our corner. So please visit solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously. And keep in mind, folks, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by buying books from them, and you're not only going to be doing us at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping a major advertiser happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an absolutely enormous favor because they publish nothing but the finest in theologically sound and biblically faithful literature from the past and the present. They have brought back into print long-forgotten books that are actual treasures of Christian theology, dating back centuries, sometimes as far back as the Protestant Reformation, all the way up to our present day, including books by a giant of theology in the 21st century, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com, purchase frequently and generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I want to thank all of you who have been doing that, and Mike Gadosh, the founder of solid-ground-books.com, is thrilled that many of you have been purchasing books from them, not only on an ongoing basis, but some of you have recently discovered them through this program and have been purchasing many books from them. And I just want to thank all of you from the depths of my heart. That's solid-ground-books.com. Keep that website handy. Stick it to your refrigerator with a magnet. Put it on a sticky note or post-it note on your laptop screen. Wherever you frequently look, get that note somewhere visible, highly visible in your home, in your car, and everywhere else at solid-ground-books.com. Before I return to our interview with Tom Buck, who is pastor of First Baptist Church in Lyndale, Texas, board member at G3 Ministries, and one of the speakers at the Wokeness and the Gospel Conference, I just have a few important announcements to make. First of all, please mark your calendars to attend the Wokeness and the Gospel Conference. I will be there, God willing, myself, manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio from June 11th through the 12th at the Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas. For more details on that conference, go to wokenessandgospel.org, wokenessandgospel.org. Also, mark your calendars and register as quickly as possible for the G3 conference. The G3, or the three G's, I should say, stand for Grace, Gospel, and Glory. I think I got them in the right order. And it is always an absolutely extraordinary conference, and I'm not exaggerating in the slightest bit. And I'm sure that even my guest Tom Buck can attest to that fact. Isn't the G3 conference a mind-blowing annual event?
Absolutely is. I was going to the conference before I ever came on the board of G3 Ministries. It's a highlight of my year, and it's probably the best theological conference that I have ever attended, and I'm thankful for it. And I felt that way from the beginning, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Amen. Well, thank you for that commendation. And if you want to join me there, I will be manning an exhibitor's booth there. This will be my fourth year in a row. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. There's over 20 speakers there. They have, every year, the longest and deepest list of profound and gifted and powerful speakers on their roster. It's utterly amazing how they are capable of getting such a lineup every year. And this year, those speakers include the aforementioned Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, a dear friend of mine since 1995, Stephen J. Lawson, Conrad M. Mbewe, another very dear friend of mine since 1996, who I just interviewed last week, Paul Washer, what a powerful preacher he is, John MacArthur, one of my modern-day heroes for certain, Josh Bice, the founder of the G3 Conference, Anthony Mathenia, who is Paul Washer's pastor, Hensworth Jonas, not a very famous name, especially in broader evangelicalism, and not even in Reformed circles, but if you don't know Hensworth Jonas and never heard him preach, you've got to discover this man. What an extraordinary preacher he is. I had the privilege of hearing him preach at my own church, Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. What a dear brother in Christ. I've also interviewed him, and you can look up that interview on the Iron Sharpens Iron website archive. Just type in the search engine Hensworth, H-E-N-S-W-O-R-T-H. I've never interviewed anybody else by that name, so his interview will come up. Justin Peters, my dear friend of many years of Justin Peters Ministries. It was such a joy to even have him in the studio when I was broadcasting out of WNYG on Long Island, New York, early on in the history of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Joel Beakey, another dear friend of mine going back to 1991. And Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You Ministries, the ministry of John MacArthur. Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast, and more. That's g3conference.com, g3conference.com. I also want you to pray, this is a very important prayer request, for Vody Balcom. You hear in the ads, at least some of the ads, that Vody Balcom is on the roster for the G3 conference. Well, now there is a question mark next to that, because I don't know if you've heard, many of our listeners have, but Vody had, unfortunately, a serious health setback, which required quadruple bypass surgery. And thankfully, according to my latest report from Dr. Conrad Mbewe, who labors with him in Zambia, Africa, at the African Christian University and Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, according to Dr. Mbewe, who speaks with him every single day, Vody is recovering well, but he is not out of the woods. So please continue to pray for him. Pray that he is strong enough and healthy enough to remain on the roster for the G3 conference this fall. And also, much more importantly, that he remains on this planet to bless his family, his wife and children, and the body of Christ for many more years to come on this earth. What a blessing to the body of Christ. Is not Vody one of the most powerful and important voices today, Pastor Buck?
Oh, no doubt about it, especially on this particular topic. There's not anybody that understands what's happening better than he does. And so his book, Fault Lines, that is doing such a fabulous job right now, even on the charts for popularity and purchase, everybody needs to get a copy of that if they want to understand what's going on in the church right now regarding critical race theory and wokeness.
Amen. So pray for Vody Balcom. Also, folks, if you want this program to remain on the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, the old-fashioned way, sending checks through the postal service, then a physical address will appear on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, if you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, as long as whatever it is you desire to promote is compatible with what I believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe. Then please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Please, folks, remember, I don't want my listeners siphoning money away from their regular giving to their own local church where they are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't punish your own church financially by blessing us financially. Never do that. Also, if you are really struggling to survive, do not put your family in financial peril by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture to provide for your church and family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God in Scripture. But having said that, if you love this show and you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and family, and you have plenty of money sitting around collecting interest in the bank, plenty of money for recreational purposes, trivial purposes, well, please, if you love this show, please spare some of that money and provide it for us so that we can keep going here and continue this program. We have between 30 and 40,000 people downloading this program every month, and yet there is a comparative handful of people that give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I want to thank that handful, comparative handful, mind you, from the bottom of my heart for your generosity. We also could not exist without your generosity. I want to thank all of you who have been giving not only monthly and even more than monthly for many years, and also the new donors that we have. Thank you so much. But if you haven't given and yet you love this show and you're able to give, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Finally, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church, please send me an email, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth, and I've helped many people in our audience from all over the world find churches sometimes right around the corner from where they live. You might be in that category as well. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. And I want to thank our listener in Pahoa, I don't know if I'm mispronouncing that, or Pahoa, Hawaii. I will get to you. I will respond to you with your request for a church as soon as I can. I just got this moments ago. And also in Merced, California. I hope I'm pronouncing that city right. Merced, California. I will try my best to get you church recommendations near those two areas. Thank you for submitting those requests. And that's also the email address to send in a question to Tom Buck, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who wants to know, I have heard that the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary's faculty was forbidden to sign the paper on social justice that Josh Bice was a key figure in drafting. Is this true?
Well, I mean, I can't speak to that firsthand. There have been those that have said that they were at least strongly encouraged not to. Dr. Moeller has said that he did not forbid anyone from signing it. So at the end of the day, we just have to take individuals at their word. I don't have any firsthand knowledge one way or the other.
Okay. Well, I guess it's a sad commentary, though, that people were strongly urged not to sign it. We have, thank you, by the way, John in Bangor, Maine. We have Dallas in Lindale, Texas. I attend a Christian college in Jacksonville. I don't know if that's Florida or Texas. Some of my professors have started talking pro being woke. I don't know if that's grammatically correct. What are some things that I can do to help determine what is right and wrong? Are some questions I can ask, I guess he means, what are some questions I can ask to make them think a little bit more about it?
Well, I think that the first thing we need to do is get grounded in the truth. Before we try to understand an ideology that's worldly, I think we've got to get a biblical worldview. If we don't have a sound, solid biblical worldview, where we understand what the scriptures teach, we are not going to be able to really address or even recognize when something comes up that is faulty. And so the place to begin is that. Know the Word of God so that you'll be able to not only recognize it, but then you will know how to speak to those things. For example, if someone begins, it's very common within wokeism to talk about how that we need to be practicing partiality. They might not use that language, but they might say something to the fact that if we're going to be able to move forward, then we've got to have those who are of this particular ethnicity be silent and allow the voices of this particular ethnicity to be platformed and become more prominent. Well, that is a view of partiality. What makes someone right or wrong? It's not based upon the color of their skin, their ethnic background, whatever that may be. God's word is the standard for everything. So we need to be able to recognize when somebody's speaking language that's antithetical to what Scripture says, for example, with partiality. So I would begin by getting to know your Bible better, and then you'll be able to recognize views of the world that are incorrect and be able to address them better.
Thank you, Dallas, and I believe you are a first-time questioner. Please give me your full mailing address so that you can receive a free New American Standard Bible, compliments of the publishers of the NASB, and compliments of the cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, who always ship out our winners their Bibles and books and other products by because of their submitting questions. Thank you so much, Dallas. Now, I have said on this program before in relationship to this topic, and perhaps you can either clarify, confirm, or even reword what I said or refute what I said, but I believe that some of the key areas here of sin that the woke movement is championing, and two or three of the main reasons why Bible-believing Christians should reject this movement, is that it involves slandering people, accusing them of being guilty of sins that might have never even entered their mind. We're all sinners, but not everybody is racist, and certainly not that is not a part of their genetic code or something by sheer virtue of their melanin content. So it's about bearing false witness and slandering. It's also about vengeance. I believe that a lot of this seems to be nothing more than vengeance, a promotion of the fact that this country is guilty for having practiced chattel slavery for centuries, and we, even after the Civil War, continued the or began the Jim Crow laws in the southern states of this country, and bigotry and prejudice obviously is a national and global thing in some sense. But people are basically, it sounds to me, even if they would never word it this way, they're purely wanting to take revenge. On, and the vengeance, ironically, that they want to take has as its victims people who have nothing to do with slavery or Jim Crow or racism in of any shape or form. I'll give you an example. My family, my mother's family, came from Poland in the 1930s, I believe, or actually 20s, perhaps. My father's side of the family came from Norway on his father's side and settled in Brooklyn in the 1860s. My ancestors did not own slaves. If any of my father's ancestors owned slaves, they would have been white because they would have been Vikings. So why would I be held responsible for this, or anybody else in this country who had nothing to do with this, even if their parents or grandparents, well, not obviously not their parents at this point in time, but if their grandparents were slaveholders, what does that have to do with them now? Isn't this about, to a large degree, slander, vengeance, and eclipsing the gospel?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the things that it does is, whether it is intentional or unintentional, it leads to the coddling of sin rather than the confrontation of sin within the hearts of those who feel that they have been mistreated or marginalized. So they nurse grievances, for example, rather than being taught to extend forgiveness, whether that other person comes to honestly deal with whatever issues you think they're guilty of or not, it creates an environment, as you've already pointed out, that it slanders someone and calls them a white supremacist. Maybe someone who's not had a racist thought at all, but they're called a racist simply because they are identified with a particular ethnic group. There's nothing in Scripture that would point to that being a Christ-like, gospel-centered way of viewing our world. So I believe that it perpetuates sin. It even excuses sin. Let me give you one example. Dr. Carroll was speaking at the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. He was brought in to teach the Latino hermeneutic. And so he was teaching about how to understand the Bible through the lens of a Hispanic immigrant. So he takes the story of Abram and Sarai when they're at the border of Egypt. And as you know, Abram lies about who Sarah is, it's his sister, and all of the problems that leads to. Well, here's what he says, that if you want to understand, he says, the true meaning of the text, you put on the Latino migrant lens, and let me quote. He says, desperation yields audacious, even scandalous actions. If you have to lie or put people in danger to get across the border, then that is what must be done. Survival is the end game. Too much is at stake to have reasoned moral discussion to decide between easy solutions. So that's how he's interpreting the deceptive acts of Abraham. Rather than saying it was sinful, he excuses those actions because that's what immigrants, as he says, are forced to do because of the circumstances of the oppressors who oppress the migrants coming across the border. Now just think the damage that does. Rather than calling upon someone to repent of their sin of lying, repent of their sin of deception, you tell them, no, it's okay to lie in certain circumstances if you can excuse it based upon your standpoint of what you're experiencing in your own life. It's dangerous what's taking place.
We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, and she wants to know, should one leave a church only because it may have been overcome by woke teaching, even though all of the other theology and practice involved may be biblical?
Well, I think that's an oxymoron, if you will. If someone is totally overtaken with wokeness, their theology is no longer biblical.
Right.
I don't mean that to be smart aleck at all.
Right, right. I understand.
The person who's asking the question. But I agree with Owen Strand. You can ask him this, and he'll answer it the way I've heard him say it publicly, that if you're involved in a church that's become overcome with wokeness, you need to find another church. Now, first you go and you ask questions to see if maybe you're misunderstanding things. But if it truly is employing the ideologies of wokeness, it is anti-gospel. So they're at the best, they're speaking out of both sides of their mouth. So I think that if a church is overtaken in it, and it has left Orthodox doctrine, and it is going to infect every area of theology in that church eventually, it's already against sound theology.
Thank you, Susan Margaret. Keep listening in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, and spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who says, have you heard responses from proponents of the woke movement to the question how they, as Bible-believing Christians and believers in inerrancy, could publicly align themselves with those that hate Christ and his word and the gospel to a much larger degree than their own brothers and sisters in Christ and side with them on issues such as the woke movement? How do they even respond to such a thing?
Well, I think that they would say that's not what they're doing. I think what they would say is that the issue, let's just take the issue of reparations. That particular issue would be argued by some within the woke movement that that's just a biblical concept. Again, this is how they twist the scriptures with a woke hermeneutic. They say, well, look at Zacchaeus. He is one who, once he gets his heart changed by the gospel, is willing to pay reparations. And so they say, we're employing something that's already taught in the gospel, it's already taught in the scriptures, so we're not aligning ourselves with the world. But the problem is, to get to where they are, they twist what the Word of God says, because Zacchaeus was not repaying, though based upon what his ancestors did, his children weren't asked, or his grandchildren asked, to repay what he had stolen from others. He took personal responsibility. But yet they take texts like that and they assuage their conscience to say, I'm not aligning myself with a lost concept, lost world, I should say, and their concepts. This is embedded already within Scripture. So I think they're self-deceived, to be honest with you.
Well, in that same vein, I'm not going to mention the person only because I don't have the direct quote, the exact wording in front of me, so I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. But there's a key proponent of wokeism that has publicly said that he has to be more concerned about his alliance with those of the black race or those with black skin than those who share his Christian faith. Isn't that an absolutely abhorrent worldview and mindset?
Yeah, I don't have the exact quote either, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember reading that when he publicly said that. I hope and pray that if we were to interview him, that he would clarify that to not mean what it certainly sounds like it means. But yes, he said very clearly that, at least if we take his words at face value, that he first and foremost is going to relate to this world according to the color of his skin. That is totally antithetical to the gospel, especially when you read that there's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's not barbarian or Scythian. Those things are no longer our identity. Our identity is in Christ alone. And that, in fact, if you want to go with what Peter says, we are of a chosen race. We are of a new race that is made up of Jew and Gentile that has nothing to do with our worldly ethnicity at all. So it's anti-gospel in every aspect.
Now, one thing that I would love to ask folks that are proponents of wokeism is that if they find, and obviously we would share their assessment, that chattel slavery, Jim Crow movement, overt racial hatred, and even hidden racial hatred, hatred of any kind, this is all an abomination. So in their worldview, where it seems that they desire those with white skin and those who are heterosexual men to be treated exactly in the abhorrent way or close to it that blacks tragically were with the treatment with which blacks and other minorities have experienced in this country, how long is that supposed to go on before it is an exact mirror image of what happened in the past? I don't even understand how they could be advocating it, because what's the difference between whites being treated in a Jim Crow-like fashion than blacks? Am I making sense here, or am I rambling?
No, I think you make total sense that they're trying to correct partiality of the past, and of course, you know, egregious partiality and wickedness with partiality in the present. And the only way that we correct sin of the past is righteousness from this point forward. And we don't deal and correct the unrighteous acts of the past with unrighteous acts in the present. But again, the worldviews driving this, I think what some of them might say is that, well, we're not saying that, you know, that that there needs to be some type of Jim Crow laws or something of that nature in treatment of whites. But I think what they're saying is that the entire system that is set up that was built to oppress blacks, that still today every white person benefits from and every black person is lives under the oppression of that. And so that the system has got to be totally destroyed. And there has to be a new system that is a new equity, if you will, that would be established where that it's no longer based upon white males, but it's a plurality of ethnicities and an equality among both genders and so forth and so on. So they set this worldview up to say we've got to, the only way we can undo the past is to totally destroy the systems that are around today because of what happened in the past.
But it seems, though, that some, I'm not saying that every single person who claims a woke worldview is saying this, but it seems fairly dominant, at least in the media and the public eye, that some of the things that they advocate now are indeed mirror images of Jim Crow. Like, for instance, blacks getting preferential treatment who have applied for any job and any career, having preferential treatment over whites. Patients in hospitals, a black person perhaps with a sprained wrist will get preferential treatment in the hospital over a white man having a heart attack. You know, I mean, we could go on and on. Mm-hmm. And it seems that Asians are included as victims of this discrimination or bigotry. So isn't that just a smokescreen that they're saying that they're not mirroring Jim Crow and other atrocities of the past?
Absolutely, I agree. That's why when I say partiality, correcting the partiality of the past with partiality in the present, it's not righteous. God forbids it. But they believe that, well, if we're, you know, 100 years behind, because of, and whites are 100 years ahead, the only way to fix that is if we employ these practices that are partiality in order to get an even playing field. Well, that's not biblical at all. And the only way to correct it is for us to begin living righteously where we no longer treat one another with partiality. James didn't say when he said, you're showing partiality to the rich over the poor. He didn't say, well, what you need to start doing next week is give the best seats to the poor and make the rich sit on the floor. That's not how he addressed the issue. To counteract the partiality, how you deal with it is you stop being partial across the board. That's the only way you correct it. So there's nothing in Scripture whatsoever that would substantiate what they are trying to employ regarding fixing this problem that they see in the world.
Now, one of the things that adds credibility to the charge that this wokeism is really primarily, not exclusively, but primarily an invention of the evil minds of white leftists, even though there are many black voices who are a part of it, that it's primarily a white phenomenon, a white-driven phenomenon. One of the evidences of that to me, and I've brought this up in other programs, but the issue of homosexuality and everything under the umbrella of LGBTQ being brought into this conversation about wokeism, I, before moving to Carlisle, Pennsylvania, lived in New York my whole life. And one thing that I found very interesting is that the majority of black folks, especially professing black Christians, but not necessarily exclusively Christians, but it seemed that the black community, by and large, in general, I mean, just like everybody else, they're individuals, they don't all think in lockstep, but it seemed that the majority, no matter how liberal they may have voted, and no matter how liberal the political candidates are that they supported, or perhaps they're actually a political figure themselves, an elected official that has many liberal views and elements to a worldview. They seem to be, though, however, in spite of all that, very opposed to same-sex marriage and issues that support homosexuality. It seems like a real disconnect there. I don't know if that's your experience in the South, but that's what I've witnessed in growing up in New York. Any comments about that?
No, absolutely. There is this desire to want to employ the ideology of critical theory to to the aspect of ethnicity or race, and ignore the fact, and they are even moving into the gender issue, like with egalitarianism. What they don't realize is that the social justice train and the train of wokeness, it has not just the issue of race as one of the boxcars, but it has the issue of egalitarianism, and it has the LGBT issues with it. They all go together because the ideology looks at who are considered the marginalized and the oppressed, and those that are marginalized and oppressed have to be, their voice is more important, has to be elevated, and so those who are cisgender, for instance, those who are heterosexual, those are the oppressors of all of those within the LGBT community. So what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to employ an ideology that pulls all of that baggage with it and piecemealing it out and saying we can only apply to the race category. That's problematic because they're not going to be able to be successful in that, because that same ideology plays right across the board. Our only hope is to apply the scriptures as being sufficient to address each and every one of these areas. And the moment that we allow an ideology to come in, as Paul warns, it will take us captive, and it will lead us down a path that will be destructive to the gospel.
And we have to go to our final break. Send in your email now with a question if you intend to, because we're rapidly running out of time. Chris Arnson at gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. We'll be right back.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vody Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnson and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all. Fellowshipping with the
family. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Every
day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Welcome back, Tom Buck. Before we take any more listener questions, if you could summarize that which you believe to be most essential, what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners about this topic, wokeness in the gospel, before we depart the program today.
Well, I think that, as I mentioned earlier, Colossians 2:8, that Paul commands that we not be taken captive by worldly ideologies. And we've always got to be on the alert for worldviews that enter the church that are a threat against the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not enough that we stand for what is the truth. We have to fight against that which is an assault upon the truth. So you need to get educated in what we're talking about. This is not something that is a side issue or an issue that's not that we're that's being overblown. It's not a real threat. You need to get up to speed. You need to be reading on this so you can understand it and articulate it in an intelligent, informed way. So I commend people to read Bodie's book on fault lines. I commend them to get Owen Strand's book that's out, will be coming out later. But above all, I encourage everybody to attend, if they can, the Wokeness in the Gospel Conference. It's going to be in Denton, June 11th and 12th, June 11th and 12th, just coming up in a few weeks. It'll be worth every minute of your time, and you'll be able to walk away having your mind around what is the problem, what is the threat to the gospel, and how do I arm myself to fight against that threat to the Church of Jesus Christ.
And we have Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania, who says, "Keep in mind, I am not in total agreement with many of my independent Baptist fundamentalist friends, especially those that are anti-Calvinist and King James only. But there is a truth that they repeat, that fellowship with darkness is nothing that should be a part of a Christian life. how do you and your fellow Southern Baptists who remain in that denomination defend being a part of that denomination when there is so much horrible and ugly teaching permeating the group?
Well, I am thankful that there is pushback. It seems to be taking place even within the convention. And I want to just quickly say that I'm thankful that Dr. Moeller and the other presidents did issue a statement that critical race theory is not compatible with the Baptist faith and message. I do think it needs to go further, and we need to root out anyone who is correct if they're not willing to be corrected, or root them out if they are going to continue teaching it. But I admit that I've struggled with this because it would be easier to walk away. It would be much easier in many respects to do that. But one of the things that has caused me to have hope is the resurgence, the conservative resurgence that took place in the past, that we will be able to stand and bring about a new resurgence to push out these ideologies that have taken root in some areas. And there's $60 billion worth of assets that is possessed by the Southern Baptist Convention. And I'm just not ready yet to walk away and leave those assets behind. I would rather do what we can to retain those to be used for the good of the kingdom rather than being turned over to eventually watch things drift in a direction that is going to be, I think, as liberal as it was back when the conservative resurgence occurred. So everybody has to, their own conscience, make that decision. I know that there are some that have already departed, but we're doing what we can to try to rescue the convention, like it has been done in the past.
And let's see here. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, who asks, what is, in your opinion, the greatest summary of an apologetic against those that are proponents of the woke movement that you can tell them to reassure them that you are indeed not a racist, but that they are promoting, even if unconsciously, racism and bigotry themselves?
Well, I think that, I don't know if there's one particular passage, but I would say for sure that when Paul tells us that there's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's neither male nor female, he says neither barbarian nor Scythian, when we look at the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is something that unites us, that focuses not upon our differences, and certainly doesn't focus upon our ethnicities is what defines us. What defines us is that we are one in Christ. And so when I look at someone of a different ethnicity, what matters to me should not be the color of their skin or their ethnic background, but do they know the Lord Jesus Christ? If they are, then I'm one with them. When we come and we sit around the Lord's table, all of those things disappear when we gather around the Lord's table, because our oneness is based in our identity with Jesus Christ. So you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. And therefore, I look at anything that divides us in the church away from our oneness in Christ is antithetical to the gospel and is in and of itself inherently wicked.
Well, I want to thank you for doing such an excellent job on a very controversial issue, Pastor Tom. I want to remind our listeners that the conference that we've been speaking about, Wokeness and the Gospel, which is being held in Denton, Texas, you can find out more about that conference at wokenessandgospel.org, wokenessandgospel.org. And once again, the dates for that conference are June 11th and 12th. I intend to be there. I am scheduled to man an exhibitor's booth there, and I hope that as many of you as possible can join me there. Also, if you want more information about First Baptist Church of Lyndale, Texas, where Pastor Tom Buck is the pastor, go to fbclyndale.com, FBC for First Baptist Church, Lyndale, LINDALE.com. And of course, don't forget about the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, September 30th through October 2nd, where I will also be manning an exhibitor's booth and the conference for which Tom Buck is on the board of directors. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Thank you so much, Pastor Tom, for being my guest today. I look forward to many frequent returns by you to this program. I want to thank everybody for listening today, especially those who took the time to write. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.